Welcome to Truth Talk with Myron.
Welcome to Truth Talk Radio. Today we're going to be picking up with part four of our series on the family crisis. And today we'll be discussing inheritance and parenting. As we've established in our previous segments that there's a family crisis in America, we've also established that there are many factors that contribute to this from the range of fathers and the range of mothers. There are also several marital issues and society within itself. Last week, we touched on issues in the family that could have a positive or negative effect on children. And today, we'll take a closer look at those issues. But first, let's take a moment to meet our guests. Today, we're going to have with us Ellen Dean. She's a graduate from Texas Tech University in Family Relations and Psychology. We are honored to have with us Dr. Ed Lamance, who is the Director of Impact Counseling and Guidance Center located in Arlington, Texas, and Ms. Cindy Littlefield,
who has appeared on
Houston's ABC 13 and Fox and is a regular guest on a Christian radio, KHCB's Vital Issues. But first up, let's take a moment to meet Dr. Ed Lamance. Welcome to the program, sir.
Thank you, Myron. I appreciate getting to be here.
Yes, sir. Talk to us a little bit about the Impact Counseling and Guidance Center in Arlington, sir.
Okay. Well, we're a Christian counseling center, actually a ministry of Lake Arlington Baptist Church. Got started in April of 2005. I've got a staff of great staff of folks working with me that are licensed professionals, also those that are working on licensure. And so we had about around 3,300 clinical sessions last year helping folks. So have an opportunity to help a lot of people in the Arlington area.
Okay, very good. Well, last week we didn't get to, we ran out of time a little bit, but before we get into today's topic, sir, I wanted to ask you, let's talk a little bit about the inheritance of Christ. And I want to ask you, how does the inheritance in Jesus give us the power to change our lives, our relationships, and develop healthy marriages?
Well, that's a great question, and the point is that our relationship with Christ actually gives us access to the dunamis, the power, the resurrection power of Christ, and He supplies us with all the resources we need to have the healthy marriage that we really seek and desire, and actually were created for. So. We have access to it. We just need to utilize the resources and the access.
Okay. But do you think that a lot of people don't understand exactly what the inheritance Christ gives us is exactly, sir?
Well, yeah. We kind of have... Unfortunately, a lot of folks have grown up and with kind of a casual Christianity. I call it the slot machine approach, where we have this idea, put a little in and kind of hope to hit the jackpot. And it doesn't work that way at all. And so a lot of it has to do with just the fact that we don't understand and we don't know that God has more for us than simply heaven when we die. He has meaning and purpose and significance, and all the things that we're really looking for right now, He makes available to us. In fact, in my own spiritual journey, a statement that Christ made was what got my attention as a teenager in John 10:10, when He said, "I've come that you might have life and live it to the full." And it was explained to me, He was talking about right now, the meaning and purpose and significance and fulfillment and all those things right now, not just eternal life one day when I die.
Okay. Let's take a moment to talk with Dr. Littlefield. Dr. Littlefield, tell us a little bit about your work.
Well, I'm a Christian counselor in the Houston area, and really just deal with a range of problems. You know, I've been in therapy or private practice for about 20 years, and so you just get a lot of situations. But ultimately, even what's being discussed or just previously discussed, I mean, ultimately, it is really our spiritualness, or however it would be a correct way of saying that, that really creates the problem for us. The closer we are and the more Christ-like we are, really the better our life is. And the more boundaries we'd be able to set, the more functional we are, the more we see things clearly from that way that Christ would look at it rather than how the world looks at it.
Okay. If you guys want to join the conversation or share with us today, you can call in at 888-627-6008. Do you want to add anything to, or do you have anything you want to say about the question I just asked Dr. Lament?
I don't think I heard the question. I think I came in after what you had actually asked him.
Okay. Well, I just asked him, you know, if we, you know, how inheritance in Christ gives us power to change lives, relationships, and develop healthy marriages.
Yes, absolutely. I think that certainly that many of us have to overcome those particular situations that we may have experienced. Maybe we didn't get proper modeling. In my situation, my mother was married 5 times, and so what I really learned about relationships is that you didn't resolve conflict, you didn't go through, and certainly earlier in my mother's life, and probably for most of it, she wasn't, you know, Christ-centered, and really her husband's along the way, I believe one was really trying to understand the principles that the Lord had on marriage. But so part of that was the role modeling, certainly, that any of us experience, but absolutely, Christ changes our lives. He can make us new, a new creature in Christ. And but again, it's really sometimes very hard work. It's because the thing about emotional pain, we don't forget it like we do physical pain. I can think back about when I had my daughter, and I can think about the physical pain, and I can remember perhaps on a cognitive level that it hurt, but I can't really feel it. But emotional pain seems, for whatever reason, from a psychological point of view, seems to stick in us a little bit more. And I think even the situation with finding a role model as a husband was certainly impaired by my mother's choices. And many of them, I mean, the thing that they all had good work ethics. And so one of the skills that I developed in life was to have a good work ethic. And so you can see how critical modeling is in those early years. And having been through, some abusive situations as well, it really impairs your judgment. But Christ, of course, can come in and all things are possible. And, you know, at this point in my life, I have an incredibly wonderful husband who's a godly man and who understands and was reared really in a Christian environment himself, even though in that situation it was probably somewhat difficult just because of the legalism that his family. But we've gotten so far away, I don't know that we as a culture, certainly as a culture, when you look at some of the statistics of things that are going on, 8,000 adolescents, not just Christian, but adolescents in general, according to Ron Lucci, who has a major ministry with adolescents, 8,000 STDs are contracted every year, and or every day, I'm sorry. And I was so appalled at some of these statistics, and it was just like almost unbelievable that I really went back. And, of course, we know the influence and impact of certainly pornography on our adolescents and just all the temptations of the world. And I know it was difficult in our age, but I do think that they are bombarded with a great deal more at adolescence than certainly I was.
Okay. Dr. Lament, to follow up, like when we did, when you just said that it's a lack of understanding, when you look at the divorce, I know I didn't ask you this, but when you look at the divorce rates that's going on within America today in a body, you know, within the church and outside the church, I know it's a difficult question to answer because I've asked it before, but do you believe that because people either don't understand it, I mean, is it prior, I guess the question I'm asking, when you look at the divorce rate and how high they are, what is contributing to that? Is it the lack of understanding the influence that Christ gives us, or is it something else? Is it society? I mean, what other challenges? I know there are many variables that go into that, but what do you think is the number one reason why the divorce rate is so high?
Well, that's a great question. What Dr. Littlefield was talking about is, you know, a centerpiece of the whole dynamic. And yes, there are lots of factors that go into it. But I think at a baseline, we as believers, I know I wasn't taught early on, how do you deal with the pain of the past? How do you learn to love unconditionally? How do you develop good communication skills? How do you implement the truth of what God says? And nobody was helping me know how to do those things. And so that's a huge part of the problem. I may want to do those things, but if I don't know how to do those things, then I'm just kind of wandering around lost in the woods. And our tendency is to go to, okay, I'll go to the internet. I'll go talk to a friend. I'll look at this or look at that, and I'm influenced by this book and that book and this professor and that family member and what I grew up with, and we've got all of these different influences flooding in that just get us more and more confused. And so, out of that confusion, it's kind of like, well, okay, I'll try this, I'll try that. And after a while, we kind of give up in our frustration, and we decide that, well, okay, I just kind of got to make the best of it, I guess. And this is as good as it gets, or I live in denial, or I'm trying to just simply avoid, you know, stuff that's going on. So it's a whole bunch of things, but mostly, as I'm working with folks that come in and want help, the baseline question is, okay, so what do I do?
Okay. We're going to take a quick news break, and we'll be back with Ms. Ellen Dean.
What it means to become responsible. This is an exact knife. drives the pedal.
Greetings and welcome to everyone. You are listening to Red Ice Radio, and my name is Henrik. We are coming to you from our headquarters in Sweden on the Scandinavian Peninsula. We've been doing this radio program since 2006, and the website has been going since about 2002. We cover subjects from across the world and beyond on all the things that we find important, interesting, and inspiring. At redicecreations.com, you can find more. Today we're talking with Dan Johnson about people against the National Defense Authorization Act. Dan is 19 years old and Eagle Scout and has been recognized as one of the top 30 impromptu speakers in the United States. He is a political science major at Bowling Green State University and speaks a moderate amount of Japanese. After doing research about the NDAA, he founded PANDA, People Against the National Defense Authorization Act. PANDA is supported by groups across the political spectrum and is one of the fastest growing liberty movements in the United States, with over 25 teams across the country. He is recognized by many as an upcoming expert on the subject of liberty versus national security, the 2012 National Defense Authorization Act, RH-347, and the gradual slide towards an American police state. Well, welcome to the program, Dan. Thank you for coming on, first of all, and we really appreciate talking with you today, so thank you for coming on first.
Definitely. Thank you for having me on.
So give us an outline, if you will, a little bit of what we're going to discuss here today of the NDAA, and let's not assume that everyone knows what we're talking about here, so let's get into the background of this beast right away, if you will, Dan.
All right, sure. The NDAA, or National Defense Authorization Act, is a law passed by the United States Congress in order to fund the U.S. military. It provides a lot of the funding for the weapons, funding for food, funding for housing, et cetera, for the U.S. Armed Forces. And it has been passed for 51 years now. Since it passes every year with very little fanfare, it's a couple arguing over who gets this Air Force base and who gets this amount of planes. But very little fanfare, it just passes through, and no one wants to be seen voting against it for fear of being seen as they don't support the troops. So this bill passes every year, and you get around to post 9/11. And the United States has this kind of paranoid fear of terrorism, especially in our governmental branches. And in 2007, the John Warner National Defense Authorization Act authorized a military unit to operate on U.S. soil, only on U.S. soil, in violation of one of our laws called Posse Comitatus, which restricts military from being used as policing on U.S. soil. But in violation of that, they created a special military unit on U.S. soil to be used for crowd control and civil disobedience purposes. However, that was repealed in 2009. That 2007 NDAA led the way, as a needle in the haystack, led the way to the 2012 NDAA National Defense Authorization Act, which, in a nutshell, authorized the indefinite military detention of any person, including American citizens on American soil, without charge or trial, and applying the laws of war, making the entire world, not just America. Now, the U.S. Congress is trying to pass a law basically for the entire world, and they did, and they passed, and it was signed to law. But this law, this NDAA, applies the laws of war, making the world the battlefield, and we are at war, the United States government is at war around the world, and applied that not only around the world but directly to U.S. citizens on U.S. soil as well. That was signed into law on December 31st, 2011.
Interesting. Picking up where we left off, understanding where divorce rates and everything is so high, I want to ask you, Dr. Lament, what does a healthy marriage look like, considering all of the facts that we have in front of us?
Okay, great question. think the obvious answer to begin with is a healthy marriage is a direct correlation between how healthy the individuals are that are getting married. So if I am not healthy, then that's going to affect the health of the marriage itself. So that being said, a lot of things that go into that, there are three kind of foundational pieces that I think about that lead to a healthy marriage. One is I need to learn to deal with the past and focus on the future. Everyone experiences pain, hurt, loss, everybody, some more so than others, but our tendency is to carry it with us throughout our lifetime, and we either choose to live in denial that stuff happened, or we're just trying to avoid things, or we accommodate and decide, okay, this is as good as it gets. But what I've got to learn to do is choose to face the pain of the past, be honest and real about it, deal with it so I can go on and live free. I call that flushing. We're not going to attack each other. We're not going to wallow in it. We're going to get rid of it. The Bible talks a lot about forgiveness. And my last verse is Philippians 3:13-14, where Paul says, forgetting the things which are behind and reaching forth to the things which are ahead, I bring all of my energies to bear on this one thing, not where I've been, but where I'm going. The model prayer of Jesus, I'm to forgive as I've been forgiven. And we hear that, but we don't tend to do that. But God's word makes clear that I'm to forgive myself, I'm to forgive God, I'm to forgive others. And part of our problem is, as I work with folks and even going through my own stuff in life, I didn't know how to do that. It starts with a decision, not a feeling or an emotion, but after I decide to do it, how do I do that? And listeners can actually go to my website, impactcounseling.com, and under store, there's a free download called Flushing, and that's just an exercise to help people do that. But first of all, I need to deal with the past and focus on the future. Second, I need to learn to love unconditionally, and like I said, learn to love unconditionally. We're all selfish by nature. I want what I want, when I want, how I want, where I want, as much as I want. And we live in a conditional love world. So I really have to learn how to love unconditionally, agape love. You only get that from God, and I have to learn that from Him. And so 1 Corinthians 13 doesn't need just to be a passage I hear at weddings. It needs to be something I'm seeking to implement daily. And then third, I need to learn to communicate effectively. James 1:19-20 says that we're supposed to be quick to hear and slow to speak, and we do it just the opposite. I'm quick to speak and slow to hear. I like what Stephen Covey said, that we need to seek to understand before we seek to be understood. And how many times do your people say, you're not listening to me, you're not hearing me, you don't understand me? And we're so focused on getting our point across that we don't hear the other person. And listening is hard work. I do it for a living. And good communication doesn't just happen. It's a result of an intentional, purposed effort. So I've got to learn the skills of good communication. It doesn't just happen. So dealing with the past, focus on the future, learn to love unconditionally, learn to communicate effectively. Those are foundational pieces for having a healthy marriage.
Okay. That's very interesting and helpful. I wish I had more time to talk to you, sir, but before I let you go, let everybody know how they can get in contact with you and at the Impact Counseling and Guidance Center here in Arlington. Let them know about the website and where they can visit you guys.
You bet. The website is impactcounseling.com. There's some resources there in the store. It also has information about our team of licensed professionals and our address, how to find us. Our phone is 817-457-6728, but they can get everything they need there at impactcounseling.com. And appreciate greatly the privilege to get to speak with you and that opportunity today, Mike.
Thank you. We certainly are very honored to have had you join us today, sir. You have a wonderful weekend, and we appreciate your input. God bless you.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. We're going to have with us Ms. Ellen Dean will be joining us here in a few moments. But Dr. Littlefield, what do you want to follow up with that on? Do you agree with that about a healthy marriage? I mean, what is your input on that, ma'am?
Yes, absolutely. He succinctly spoke about really in the order and what we need to do, and certainly it's through Christ that we're able to do that, because unconditional love isn't something maybe even many of us may have had bits and pieces of it growing up, and certainly as adults, but really it's only through Christ that we're able to create that ability. And sometimes I will even have couples just read Corinthians 13 again, just to be familiar with it, because often he said it so well, it's like the only time we ever hear it is at weddings, and then it's like everybody forgets. But I think there are other things too. I know that one of the most common things recently in the divorce rate is also that women feel that they're on over task load. And so they're often thinking they work outside the home and they do the majority of the task within the home. And so even some of those types of things need to be more imparted and a part of that marital covenant in this day and age. I do think that many times, I think that as far as the children, sometimes if, you know, both parents, in fact, there's a science article that came out in just research, and it said the impact of the father's love or rejection of the child is often more important than the mother, because we perceive, children perceive the father as a more important role in the family, so it affects their self-worth. But regardless of either, you know, whether science is exactly right on that study or not, because obviously both parents are extremely important, but in really still having them develop that sense of worth, it's sort of like trying to rear a child without, you know, sending them on a treasure hunt without a road map, without the map itself to find the treasure. And that's how critical that role modeling is. There's a lot of data that says if you read in front of your child rather than reading to your child, they're 40% greater chance of being a reader. And if you smoke in front of your child, if both parents smoke, the child 80%. And so one of the things that that is a source that I often use is Boundaries in Marriage, which is by Henry Cloud and John Townsend, and it's an excellent source, but basically it kind of sums it up just the way Dr. Lemon said, that okay. We're given love, we're told to love each other, God first, of course, and then each other, and then we're given the choice and the freedom of responsibility. And if you really said it in one way, probably the most often reason for problems in marriages is because one or the other doesn't take the responsibility. And without the responsibility and the love, of course, that freedom in the marriage really can't exist. And so if everyone is operating, and that's, his main point was we often want to operate. We don't want to fail in our marriages. Actually, people want to be successful, but it's learning those skills and then making that commitment to learn those skills. And there, the thing about this day and age, too, is there are so many available resources. The Love and Respect material by the Eckridges, that has kind of hit churches a lot. It's outstanding material, and they do seminars. The Smalleys, of course, do seminars. And so in some ways, we are at a place in our culture that even though we have some of the highest divorce rates ever, and one statistic I came across, I don't know if it's still accurate.
Hold on one moment. I'm sorry to interrupt you there, Ms. Littlefield, but let's take a moment and talk with Ms. Dean and get her input.
Okay.
Ms. Dean, welcome to the program. Hey, how are you doing?
Fine. Thanks for having me.
Yes, ma'am. Glad you could join us. Tell us a little bit about your counseling center and your career.
Okay, I sure will. Well, I'm an LPCS, which means I'm an LPC, a licensed professional counselor, and a supervisor. And I'm also an LMFT for a licensed marriage and family therapist, as well as a supervisor. And I also have 4 biblical counseling certifications. So, Myron, I really do use God's Word in my counseling. I pray with my clients. I pray for them, really trusting that His Word, you know, gives instruction for life and relationship and relationships. And also, the Holy Spirit has such a huge role in counseling. And, I mean, you know, He was called the counselor. So many times I'm very aware that the Holy Spirit is really the counselor. But I'm in private practice in Richardson and just a little bit west of Highway 75. And I see marriages and individuals and families and lots of couple stuff, lots of marriage stuff. I help a lot of couples or work with a lot of couples regarding infidelity and things like that. So that's who I am.
Okay, very good. Very good. To follow up a little bit, I guess my last point about inheritance, I'm going to ask you this, Ms. Dean. I'd ask my earlier guest, Dr. Lamance, about inheritance and the fact of do families, you know, really understand the concept of the inheritance that we receive from Christ and how that plays a role, you know, in having a healthy marriage or a healthy family. And also, we talked briefly about, you know, how does the inheritance that we receive give us power to change our lives and such. But I want to ask you quickly, does that inheritance that we receive from God give us the power to crush brokenness in families, such as things like anger and hard-heartedness and unforgiving? That's, you know, Dr. Lamance touched briefly on that. And what are your thoughts?
Yes, Myron, absolutely it does. You know, the inheritance we have in Christ is really a new life in Him. It's a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And, you know, Ephesians 1, 3 through 14 talks about that inheritance that we receive, that new life in Christ because of what Christ has done for us. And it absolutely transforms us. Just like in Ephesians, Paul was writing to the church to talk about how it transforms the church. But we know also that it begins with us individually, then it goes to our marriages, goes to our families. So absolutely, and this inheritance is basically Christ in us. And, you know, even when it talks about in Galatians 2:20 that therefore I've been crucified in Christ and Christ, and I no longer live, but the life that I live in this body, I live by faith in Him who died for me because He loves me. And so really, that inheritance is based on us realizing what Christ has done for us. And yes, yes, Myron, that is what gives us power in our marriages, to have godly marriages, loving marriages, and for it to be all that God wanted. And in our families, yes. Apart from Christ, honestly, I think people are just dealing with behavior such as anger and hard-heartedness and unforgiveness. But when Christ is in us, it's His power in us that enables us to do that. Yes.
Okay. I'm going to read just a little bit of that passage from Ephesians 1 and 3. And I'm going to read verse 4. And in verse 4 he says, "Just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before Him in love." Yeah. And I think that the one thing you get from that, holy and blameless, you know, in love, I think that's missing in some ways.
because there's a lot of blame going on and so on and so forth, and a lot of things are not done in love. Dr. LeMans hit on a point, as well as did Dr. Littlefield. You know, I think communication plays a role in certain things. And so having said that, I'm going to jump into the topic of parenting real quick.
Okay.
To change
Can
gears.
Can I just make one comment? The most powerful love that Jesus said is loving him first and most, and then loving others. And that love does impact us, including communication. Yes. Go ahead.
Okay. I wanted to ask, when it comes to parenting, knowing that, let's say we use Ephesians 1 and 3 and the inheritance that we have, to bring that into parenting, I want to ask you both, but I'll give you the first chance to respond, Ms. Dean. Are parents today, I mean, parents are teaching their children values, but are they teaching them Christ-centered values?
Well, I think not always. And that's exactly what they should be teaching them. And, you know, as a parent, that is our most important responsibility, is to teach them Christian values, values that honor God, exalt Jesus Christ in our heart and lives. And we are morally responsible to do that. You know, Ephesians 6, 3 and 4 says, fathers, raise up your children in the nurture of the Lord, and do not exasperate your children. And that's really for moms and dads. It's not just dads. Dads should lead out. But moms in the same way should be teaching their children about the Lord and really capitalizing on even small times throughout the day to implement biblical truth and to tell them really how to grow based on God's truth and based on a relationship with Him. You know, Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 9 says that, you know, teach this to your children. Teach that when you stand, when you sit, when you walk, when you lay down. So all through the day, we should be teaching our children spiritual truths. And Proverbs talks about that. So we are exactly admonished to do that. You know, Myron, I want to just say a quick plug about this. I have just put out a book. It's just come out by Cross Books. And it's called Grandmother the Amazing Teacher. My grandmother was a teacher, but she taught me many godly principles and really just really impacted my life. So this book is for, it's a children's book that you read to a child about grandmother and what we learn from grandmother, but it's just full of spiritual truth, and it's really for parents and grandparents to read to their children and to learn how to impress these truths on their children. There's a chapter at the back which makes it kind of unique. It's called The chapter is called Leave a Legacy of Love, and it really talks about how to teach your children spiritual truths. And so we must be doing it. A lot of people in today's world are only teaching them just values, maybe even worldly values of what they think is important to success or self-worth. But really, we are admonished to teach them biblical truths and truths from God's Word and truths that God has told us to teach these.
Okay. We'll get some more information before we leave about that book.
Okay.
Ms. Littlefield, you want to follow up on that question?
Yes. Well, one of the things that I really try to emphasize in as far as the parenting skills is to try to move from praise and move to encouragement. Encouragement builds the self-esteem. It helps the child to be able to problem solve, where praise puts it again on performance. Now, certainly I ask parents to just pray specifically for their children to have the gifts of the Spirit, the fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, gentleness, kindness. Self-control is in there, which of course would be many different areas where we see a lot of problems, and to really reinforce their children with actually touching and hugging and showing them when they do these acts of kindness or acts of love. I mean, even with the whole bully situation, at about 10 or 11, we quit challenging bullies. And again, then kids start laughing, and I know that that's a peer group type thing, and sometimes it is funny, or appears to be funny, but it's very, very hurtful. So if we can early on, from starting as soon as possible, 3, 4, 5, to really pray for those fruits of the Spirit and to encourage and love our children when they act upon those fruits of the Spirit, I think it makes an incredible difference, because it takes it off of just performance. And actually, when we look at those gifts of fruits of the Spirit, actually that is going to really produce a life that would be happy and productive and successful, really, in every way, not just spiritually, but even within the world.
Okay. But how does that relate? Let me ask you this. When you relate that to values, in my earlier segment, as I spoke to Mr. Ronnie Rock, we talked a little bit about that. And the subject matter, it came to the fact of, do, you know, are parents just, you know, content within the Christian community on teaching children just values? And I think Ms. Dean hit on it, you know, that the question I was going to follow up with is, are Christian parents morally responsible to teach Christ-centered values, or are they looking at it today like values are just enough, you know, just as according to what the world says? And so you touched
on
bullying.
Unfortunately, I think we're all impacted and desensitized by the effects of the world. And however subtle it is or however major it is, I think it can certainly be on a continuum there from where we're greatly impacted and where we're not. But just in the amount of information that comes across, there's 14,000 different implications of sexual that we see just in television programs, that even if you don't really watch that much. And so I think that's a very unfortunate thing, and I know we need to live in the world and not to be of the world. And so in some way we've got to be able to, in our own selves, set better boundaries. And I
okay.
think it comes down to a lot of that.
Well, let me ask you this, both of you. Having said that, you brought up television and the impact they're having. Would you say, in a sense, that parents are being challenged more today, say socially, politically, to really be responsible parents? And the reason I say that, because when you look at, say, respect and kindness and truthfulness, integrity and decency, would you guys say that those are the core Christ-centered values that parents should be teaching? And if so, why have they gotten away from that?
Yes, I would say, Myron, that they are the core values we should be teaching. And I think a lot of parents are still focusing on those things. Maybe they aren't the parents that make the headlines, but I do think there is still a large amount of Christian parents that are really honestly basing their walk with the Lord and their family teaching on God's Word. But you're right, many, many families, even who name the name of Christ and maybe regularly attend church, don't really focus on the deeper values that I think we should be teaching them. And I think a lot of times parents and other people kind of focus on just teaching a child to, feel good about himself, to love himself. And I think the focus really ought to be not so much on that. I think with our human nature, we already do that. But I think the focus ought to be on helping them understand what it means to love God, and then helping them understand what it means to act in love towards others. And those values are really acted out. These are values that you mentioned, you know, kindness, respect, that's towards others, truthfulness because of Christ in us, integrity because we care about, for, you know, honoring God. So I think once we get the right focus down, then these are kind of actions that follow that. But yes, these very specific things to teach our children are incredibly important.
Okay.
Well, there's a study that the American Association of Christian Counseling did, and it showed that these teenagers all in one area said that this color was blue. And so then all the other teens that were in the study would say that it was blue. One teenager said, no, it was not blue, it was red. And then other teens and other people in that were participating in the study would say it was red. So it only took one teenager to stand up and really say that it was a different color to affect a whole group of teens agreeing, where when all of them said it, then they all went along with it. And I think maybe we don't sometimes emphasize just even that one person standing up can make a tremendously huge difference. And it's very frightening and scary for, particularly for, well, for children, adolescents, whatever ages, to really be able to stand up and say, this isn't right. But I think that's a major ingredient that we've lost somehow in this whole scheme of our being desensitized by, and even as adults we have been, even though we know perhaps the right way, or but we I guess the whole thing of wanting not to offend or to and those are can be good qualities, but when it's standing up really for the right thing. And maybe that's what we've lost in all of this. Not intentionally, but just by the fact that it's certainly even culturally it tells you to be so careful to say, not say things. And I think there's truth and value in that, but then also standing up for the right thing, somehow we've lost.
But you say the one person, but isn't that the responsibility of the parents to teach their kids, even if society, what you're saying is kind of like peer pressure. One kid says that Everybody follows. But at the same time, the one kid that makes the difference, isn't it the role of parents to be able to implement these values in their children so that they stay these core values with their children, so they stay with them? So it doesn't matter what the group does. In a sense, you're saying, you have one kid make a difference and then the others will follow. But that's almost, just playing follow the leader. They're not, they're just doing what somebody else does. Isn't that lack of guidance, as one person said today, there's a lack of leadership in the churches today and you could say abroad. And I don't want to spend too much time on it because I'm about out of time and I want to talk a little about discipline. But as that is being brought to the forefront, if there is lack of leadership, then how are parents going to know, where are parents getting their guide from? If you go to church on Sunday and you're listening to your leaders or your pastors and leaders of the church, and let's say they're not necessarily, they may be teaching doctrine, but it may not be biblical doctrine, it may not be God's doctrine, and where are they getting, where are they getting their value? Some parents are blinded. They don't know that it's necessarily what they're doing is not healthy or not right for their child. So where are they going to go?
Well, and I think Dr. Lemenz touched on that, too, that where he says there's just so much information out there, and people are going to the Internet, and it's very confusing. And, again, hopefully, and I think what Alan Dean talked about, just really seeking the guidance of the Holy Spirit, because he's not going to lead us wrongly. He's going to get us on the right track. And you're absolutely right. Without parents standing up for the right doctrine and the right principles and integrity and values, it's something that the children will automatically model if the parents have those boundaries within their spiritual walk as well.
Okay. Real quickly, before I lose time, when I read Proverbs 23:13, I see a problem in our society today, and I wanted to ask you why is there no discipline in the home? Is it because parents fear rejection of the child, Or is it because, you know, America has become a humanistic and godless society that doesn't want good moral values taught?
Well, I think a lot of it is because just the trend in the world is really changing. But each home, you know, there should be godly discipline in the home, regardless of what the world does. And I think the Bible is so clear that parents have that responsibility to teach and to train and to discipline their children. And I don't think that America has totally become a godless, humanistic society. I think there are still Christians in America that want to make a difference and want to do the right thing. But I do think there's a trend. And I believe all of us would probably agree that the trend in our culture will become more and more and more humanistic, more away from the values that God wants. And I think sometimes parents may, you know, fear their children will reject them. But I think on a bigger scale, it may not be so much that they fear their children, but they don't fear the Lord. They don't really understand what it means to live a holy life. And yet God's word is so practical and relevant and gives us the guidelines that we need. You know, regarding disciplining our children, it's so important. In Proverbs 19:18-19 says, "Discipline your son, for in that there is hope. Do not be a willing party to his death. A hot-tempered man must pay the penalty. If you rescue him, you will have to do it again." So I think that teaches us that we need to be addressing issues in our children's life, addressing misbehaviors and wrong actions, but to base it also on the truth that God wants for them, because it's much deeper than just changing their behavior. It's helping them understand that Jesus wants to change their heart. So integrity, to me, is much more than just acting right, but it's doing what's right, even when it's hard, even when nobody else is, even when it's very difficult. And it still just means, I think we as parents have such a huge responsibility to instill in our children a deep, deep, deep realization for what God has done for us and respond to his love to us with a grateful heart and to seek him and to just feel his strength. You know, adults and children alike need to realize that when Christ is in them, it's his power in them that enables them. You know, in Philippians 2:13, when it says that God will give us the will to do what is right, and he will also give us the strength to do it. So we as parents need to rely more and more on God and on his word and Christ in us and to teach our children to do those right things, even when it's very, very difficult. To me, that's what a person of integrity is.
Okay. We're almost out of time, but Ms. Littlefield, would you like to follow up quickly?
Well, I would just like to say that there are a lot of websites such as Focus on the Family has a whole section on really how to discipline and, you know, when is it appropriate to spank. And if anyone has any of these types of questions, I think obviously most of us have a high respect for James Dobson and his ministry and his commitment to the Lord, and you can go for several things. There's also, because I've written books on child abuse, sexual abuse, and so forth, a couple of books on that subject, and there is also in the child abuse websites can really give a lot of information and help. In the state of Texas, and I'm sure other areas as well, but it's really, really good information. It even talks about how when you get frustrated as a parent, some of the things you can do to try to help and help yourself to get through those frustration points if you're prone to those types of things. So I just think there are a lot of very Christian available information, and someone is having any kind of doubts, you know, most of the information, even the head of the psychiatric pediatrics of America, he even talks about really a child at three doesn't really respond to rules, and so and Dobson talks about that maybe you know, the spanking
Dr.
type
Littlefield,
of things along with timeouts is a better appropriate for three and under.
Okay.
But these are wonderful websites that are really godly people that I think we can have references to if someone's struggling with those.
Okay. We're about out of time, but I want to thank you both for taking the time to join us today. To all our guests, we appreciate you taking the time to participate. Ms. Dean, real quick, where can someone go to purchase your book?
They can go to www.crossbooks.com, or they can contact me at my office, 972-231-0808. And I want to thank you, Myron, for inviting me to be a part of this time today.
Thank you so much for joining us and participating, ma'am. Good luck to both of you. God bless you all and your careers. Until next time, be prayerful, be wise, and be adaptable.
Telling it like it is, no subject is taboo. If it's brought to the table, you bet we cover it. No more lies, no more deception. You have a right to know. It's bold. It's informative. It's Truth Talk.